Bibles with us this morning, turn with us to the book of Acts, chapter number 4. The book of Acts, chapter number 4. How many of you have ever done any mason work? I'll be the first to tell you I have not. My uncle has the gift, and he's done a lot of brick work around his house, and he can just do it. If I were to do brick work, it'd look like a dog's hind leg, Brother Clinton. It would be just as crooked as can be. I just can't do it. I understand the logic behind it, but I like to give a little too much. If you give a little bit here and a little bit there, by the time you get to the end, it ain't straight. And I'm afraid that's how it would look if I were to do it. This morning, I want to share a message, probably a familiar topic with you this morning, but Christ the Cornerstone. I read a story of there was a town and there was a vacant lot, and they watched as this family come in, and they hired some professionals to come in and to build a house on this vacant lot. And they begin to build it, and very nice house, stone on the outside, just a beautiful house. And after they got done and they moved in, this family that was beside it got to looking at the house, and they noticed the house was not parallel to the road or anything. It was cockeyed. And the son asked the dad, and he said, "Well, why is that?" And he said, "Because they didn't get their cornerstone set right, and then they went crooked from there." You know, sometimes our life can be like that as well, if we're not careful. If we don't lean upon that cornerstone and build our life upon Him, our life can get out of whack. Well, this morning in Acts chapter 4, I want to begin reading at verse number 8. The Bible says in Acts 4, verse number 8, it says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now we sort of come into the middle of the story in chapter number 4, and if you have time today or in the next few days, I encourage you to go back and to read chapter number 3. You'll begin to read the story where Peter and John come upon a lame man, and he's begging for alms pretty much. And you can almost see as Peter and John walk by, almost as to say he holds up his cup to see if they'll give him some money to go with it. But as you read the story, a very familiar story, how that when Peter came by, he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but that which I do have, that I give unto you." And he says, "Rise up and walk." And that's exactly what happened. And I would say, Brother Clinton, that lame man, he got more than he bargained for. He was just wanting a few dollars, to put into today's day and term, but he got healed and was able to get up and walk. And it's amazing, when you get Christ, when you accept Christ, I think it's pretty easy to say you get more than you bargained for when you get saved by the mercy of Christ. But as the story goes on, after this has happened, Peter begins to preach his second sermon after the day of Pentecost. And as he does this, after this, people don't like it too much.
And the church don't like it too much. And the rulers of the church, and especially after seeing a man get healed and able to walk, and it's a shame that they were like that. And Brother Lloyd, I think it's just plain out jealousy that they didn't have the same power that Peter and John had. Peter and John didn't really have the power, as Peter said. It was really in Christ Jesus that the man was able to walk. But they got jealous, and they arrested them at the beginning of chapter 4. And they brought them under arrest, and then they sort of set them out and said, okay, now we're going to have a hearing pretty much. And we want to know how you did this. We want to know how you gave this man and allowed him to walk, or gave him the ability to walk. Jesus, as Peter began to explain this, and you see they had been preaching Christ and him crucified. You read that in the first part of the chapter. And it's amazing how that Christ just has that effect on raising things up. When he was walking down the street and they were in the middle of a funeral procession, he saw the woman, and I believe it was with her child or young boy, and he reached out and touched her and he rose up. He spoke to the grave and Lazarus came out of the grave. He went in the miracles that Christ had done. He just has that effect. And when we preach the unerrant word of God and we preach the resurrection power of Jesus Christ as we preached a Sunday or two ago, he just has that effect on people if we'll truly let him do that. And Peter and John, they were trying their best just to preach Christ and him crucified. And that's what they were trying to do. And when questioned, you begin to see there that Peter, verse number 8, filled with the Holy Ghost. In other words, Peter's getting wound up. He's about ready to preach again. But what does he preach to him? He begins to ask him a question. And as they were there, then being filled with the Holy Ghost, he said to them, "You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed," in other words, if you're questioning us, why or how we raise this man up, let me tell you about it. Let me tell you how this happened. And this is how it happened. How this man stands here. He stands here because of Christ Jesus. Let me jump down there real quick. Verse number 10. "That by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified," that's how this man stands here. It's by the power of Christ. And might I remind you this morning that when we get to the gates of heaven, the only way we'll be able to stand there, the only way we'll be able to even kneel there, is because of the power of Jesus Christ. Not anything I've done, not any good deed or offering. I put an offering plate, but only by the name of Jesus Christ will we be able to stand there on that day. But as they were there, Peter began to go back a little bit. He began to talk about Christ and him crucified, and began to point a few fingers, if you'll have that just a little bit. He said, "This Jesus, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead." In other words, you couldn't keep him in the grave. "Even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." Well, they didn't do a half job. And aren't you grateful that Jesus doesn't halfway save us and you got to get a little bit more a little later on? No, when Jesus saves you, my friend, you're saved 100%. There's no getting a second dosing. There's no getting filled up again. So you make sure you got it all. You know how you top up, you go to a gas station and you fill it up. And then that clicker sort of clicks off a little bit. Shauna just loves taking my truck to the gas station because it always clicks off like every 5 seconds. She'll click that thing. I had to get to going, and poof, it clicks again. And it's just something about my truck. I can't explain it. But this was not the case here. When Jesus fills us up, we're filled. When we're saved 100%, filled to the top. But here, Peter began to go back a little bit to the Old Testament after talking about how this man was made whole. He was made whole by Christ. And then he began to describe him in verse number 11. And this is what I was trying to get to. That was just the preface to the sermon. Verse number 11, he said, "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." And then he said, "Neither is there salvation in any other." So Peter was pointing back to Psalms 118, verse 21 and 20 through 24. And here's what it says. Verse number 21 of Psalms 118, he says, "I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation." Let me ask you this morning. Aren't you glad that when you came to the old-fashioned altar and you knelt down on your knees and you cried out to God for salvation, that He heard your prayer?
Miss Sarah, aren't you glad that Jesus heard you when you was in the briar patch, as you've described it so many times, and he heard your prayer of salvation? I'm glad that he did, and that's what the psalmist was trying to get across. But then he went on and he said, verse 22, he said, "The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner," or that cornerstone. "This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Traditions bears out when Solomon was building the temple. And as you read the scripture over in 1 Kings, I think it's chapter number 6. As he's building the temple, there was not a mason stone being cut there at all. There was no hammers that could be heard. There were no tools on the site, pretty much. All the work was done off-site. As they brought the stones in, tradition says that when they were bringing the stones in, they brought in this odd-shaped stone. And the builder that was there, he saw that stone and said, that's too odd, we don't need that. And he rejected it, rolled it on down the hill, got it off the construction site. And they continued to build, and then they went back to the mason and said, "We need that cornerstone." And he said, "I already sent that stone." And he said, "Well, which one?" And he comes on to the side, and they begin to looking for it, and they find that stone that they had rolled off. And it's got moss and stuff growing up on it, and he said, "That's the stone." And they rolled it up, and it seemed to fit just perfect when they began to finish building the temple. And that's just tradition. I don't know if there's any truth to that or not. But you can definitely see that in the work of Christ, how that he is rejected by many in society today, and even so back then. But he is that head cornerstone. You can't build anything upon without Jesus Christ. And that's what Peter was trying to get across, and the psalmist did. But notice who's the one who did it. He said, "This is the Lord's doing. Christ is the one who brings about salvation. It's not me, it's not you, it's not the church, but it is Christ. Jesus did it. It's the Lord's doing." And he even went so far as to say, "And it is marvelous in our eyes. It's a beauty to behold." And he said, it isn't salvation like that to us. Or to get an amen on that. Salvation is something that we can't earn. It's something we don't deserve. And yet it's freely given by a man called Christ. And the Lord who loves us. It's beautiful. It's marvelous in our eyes. That cornerstone. Speaking of stones, you know, maybe this might bring it in a little closer. You ever seen and I'm sure you have, a young lady when they're about to get married, and the fiancé gives her that little gold thing with something on top of it? They don't go around saying, "Look at the gold. Look at the metal on that ring." No. They stick that ring up and say, "Hey, look at that rock. Look at that stone on top of that gold," or whatever the metal is. They want to show that stone. Jesus is much better than any diamond you can put on a piece of gold you'll ever have. And he's the one that's rejected. And you know, you can grade diamonds, and I don't understand it. The jeweler telling me it's good, it's good. I have no idea. If it looks pretty, it's pretty. But there's a lot of diamonds, I'm sure, that get rejected. And you know, when I worked with another company, and we were part of a pawn shop, and I was selling stuff on eBay, you know, Brother Virgil, it was pretty amazing how many ex-husbands had duped their wives with some fake stones. They would come in with those stones, and we had some diamond testers, and they didn't want it no more. They just wanted the money. And we'd stick that tester up to it. If it didn't beep, it was no good. And we didn't have just one, because it's easy to say, "Your machine's broke." No, we had two. And you put it up there, it didn't beep, it's a bad diamond. But Lord, it's amazing how mad those women could get. "He lied to me all this time and gave me a fake piece of rock." But I want to tell you this morning, you accept Christ, he's not fake. He's as real as can be. I don't care if he's been rejected by everybody else. He's real. And I don't care if the best jeweler in the world says, "You throw away that stone, you don't need it." He's the best stone you'll ever have. But that's what the psalmist was saying, that head cornerstone. But it doesn't stop there. There's many references in Scripture to the head cornerstone, the chief cornerstone. Isaiah brings out in Isaiah chapter 28, verse number 16. And I want to bring out a few points from this. Isaiah 28, 16. He said, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone,
a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, and he that believeth shall not make haste. Now listen to the descriptions that Isaiah brought out about that stone. He said, a tried stone. In other words, checked to see if it's worthy. I read of some masons and how they would build houses. They'd bring in a big old pile of rocks, and they could just pick up that rock and say, yeah, that fits there, and they'd slap it in or whatever. But then they would be checking it to see if it was a good stone, to see if it was going to crack or whatever. And if it would crack, they had a discard pile. And they just would get rid of it. And there was no question, because they were experienced. They could tell whether a rock was good or whether it was bad. And you don't even go get one off that discard pile because it's not worthy. But here Isaiah is saying that stone is tried. Check to see if it's worthy. And I want to remind us this morning that Jesus, he's so much more than worthy. For God to allow his own son to be crucified upon a cross, I would say he's worthy. But not only is he the tried stone, but he's the precious stone. Not a cheap knockoff like we were talking about. He's the real deal and precious. And that tried stone, let me back up just a minute. Remember how Jesus, when he was telling Peter how he would build his church upon this rock? What did he say about that? He said, the gates of hell will not prevail. In other words, the pressure that's put upon that rock, I don't care how much pressure it is, it's not going to break and it's not going to fail. But we have the tried stone, we have the precious stone, and we have a sure foundation, not moving, a steadfast foundation. When we build our houses, we don't want it to move. We don't want to build a mobile home. We want to build a firm foundation that's not going to move. And that's how Christ is. You know, I've seen pictures. Shauna likes to watch HGTV and TLC and those wicked shows of remodeling houses. It gives her those crazy ideas, Brother Lord. And I end up having to figure out some way how to talk her out of it. But we see these shows, and we've seen houses that they come in and they're fixer-uppers, all right. They need to be fixed up and torn down because the foundation is destroyed. You see a crack going from the bottom, and it goes all the way to the top. You've got a problem with the foundation. But with Christ, Isaiah said he's a sure foundation. It's not going to break. It's not going to crack. It's not going to move. It's not going to get washed away. He's a sure foundation. In our spiritual house, let me say this. If there's cracks in our foundation, it's not because Christ has moved. It's because we've moved. Christ is sure. He does not move. Last piece of scripture I share with you this morning, in Matthew chapter 21, down at verse number 42, Jesus begins to talk about that cornerstone. And he begins to describe himself. It's Jesus saith unto him, did ye never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? The same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Jesus is quoting from the psalmist as well. And he says, therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Jesus, again, referring to himself as the stone that was rejected. And, you know, in that time, I'm sure the masons probably thought they had a better stone or thought that stone's not worthy. It's all odd-shaped. It doesn't look right. We don't want that stone. And society even still says that today. And Isaiah said it later in Isaiah 53, how that Christ, he was nothing really to look upon. He wasn't a stone that just grabbed your attention and said, wow, that's the perfect stone. But the Bible says that he was and he is the perfect stone. And he was, yes, people may reject him, but that still doesn't mean that he's not the cornerstone. That still doesn't mean that you can't build your life upon the authority of the Word of God and upon the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ and on the name of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus, even though society says, there's a better way, there's another way, there's another stone, I'll go build my life on that stone. Jesus said, I am the way. And to put it in conjunction with this, I am the stone you need to build upon. Build upon me. But he said, I am the stone that was rejected. But notice how he said there, down there in verse number 44, he said, and whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But if you let the stone fall on you, you'll be ground to powder. Now I've never, Brother Clinton, I've never had the, I guess I could say privilege. Those who have worked it might not have considered it privilege, but carried corn to the mill and helped grind it. Did you ever have to do that?
No.
I'm quite thankful I never have to do that. But I've heard it's some hard work.
Be it at the river or having a mule hooked up to that thing, whatever. Grinding that corn to meal, to powder, because of the weight and the pressure. You know, when we fall on the stone, you'll be broken. But to accept Christ, you've got to fall on your knees. There's got to be a humility there. If you don't accept Christ, when the stone falls on you, it's going to be in judgment. And then it's just a little bit too late. It's a lot too late. But Jesus was rejected while he was here on earth. And I'll start to sum it up. Yet Peter said down there in verse number 12, back in Acts chapter 4, he said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's only in Christ. You know, you can go to the store. We've put hardwood in our part of our house. And Brother Clint, you can get some fake stuff that looks just like hardwood. And I'm not knocking it. We've got some in the basement. It looks great. But you can't get fake salvation. You can even go to Lowe's and you can get fake rocks. I don't know how you come up with a fake rock. I mean, it's a piece of cement they've molded, I guess. But you can't get fake salvation. You can go to the jewelry store and you can get a fake Rolex or a fake whatever. And they look just like the real thing, just about. Except to a real watch person. They'll know the difference. But you can't get fake salvation. It's either real or you ain't got it at all. There is no in between. And I've wore a fake Rolex before, really just to show off, Brian. I'd be like, hey, look at my watch. It's gold, it's pretty, and it's got Rolex right across the top. But I knew within my heart it was as fake as a piece of wood. It kept good time, though. But you can't get fake salvation. If there's going to be salvation in your life, it's got to be built upon Christ. It can't be built on anything else. And that's what Peter was trying to get across. This man who was lame, who had been sitting at the gates begging for alms, he's only walking because of the name of Jesus Christ. He's only healed and made whole because of the power of the resurrected Christ, whom you crucified, who's now alive. That's why he's walking. If you're saved, you're only saved by the blood of Christ, by that stone that was rejected. And I know sometimes we get rejected down here on this old world, yet Christ chose us. And there's a song that goes, the cornerstone, Hillsong sings it, I believe, in Christ alone. Christ is that cornerstone, the weak made strong. And I don't know about you, but that definitely defines me. Not necessarily the strong, but definitely the weak. And I'm only made strong by Christ. And when Christ breaks us, then he begins to mold us and shape us and make us stronger. And I've even heard the saying that if you take a stick of wood or a couple of 2x4s or whatever, and you glue them together, when you try and break them, they're going to break somewhere else. Now, I've never tried that, Brother Clint, but I've heard that saying. That it holds it together and the fibers of the wood will break before that glue does. When Christ holds you together, I believe Paul put it pretty succinctly in Romans chapter number 8, that there is nothing that's going to separate that glue because it's by the love of God. Brother Clinton and the musicians, if you'll come this morning. The weak are made strong and our hope must be built on that stone. Jesus Christ, his blood and his righteousness. Where is your hope this morning? Where is your salvation? Is it in Christ or is it in another stone? You know, God not only approves of Christ, but he values him. He honors him. He was the rock, as the society says, was in the cast-off pile. But Christ seated him at the right hand of the Father. And our place is in him, is in Christ. Is he at the top of the list for you? Is he your salvation? Or are you looking at another stone that was cast off? And that one looks better. I think I'll take that one. In other words, Christ is who we should be building our lives off of. Just like the ancient stonemasons would pick that cornerstone, they'd get it lined up, they'd get it set, and then they would build from there. They'd go this way, they'd go that way, and then they'd go up. All started on that corner. Christ is our cornerstone. If you have a need this morning, the altar's open. Brother Clinton, what's your number?
Green Book 300.
Let's all stand. Thank you.